I'm all ears.
Listen.
Oh my God.
Listen.
Oh my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
Welcome to this week's podcast. Pull up a chair, make yourself comfy, and have a listen to this. Mr. Booth Announcer, what do we got?
We talk about the birds and the bees.
Man, it could be awkward.
We learn to talk like an Aussie.
Hey.
And Siri becomes a wedding planner.
And they need to have more free booze.
First up, this is a nasty fall.
You know, as parents, you're always trying to protect your kids. And frankly, if I had my way, I'd probably wrap my daughters in bubble wrap when they were growing up. This story is a parent's worst nightmare.
There's a woman in Philadelphia, her name's Deonna Prelau, and she was getting ready to give her little three-year-old son, Reggie, a bath. And when she went to grab his pajamas, he fell out of a window. And, how bad must you feel? Because, honestly, you have to turn your back on your kids every now and again, but you just, as a mum, you just must feel like, oh, God, I'm so, why did I leave him? And I bet she beat herself up about it. Apparently, he leaned on the window and the plexiglass just popped right out of the frame and he fell two stories into their backyard. Can you imagine how sick she felt?
Yeah. But get this. A framed painting of The Last Supper was sitting on the ground right below the window, which broke his fall and saved his life. The paramedics took him to the hospital. This kid only had a bruise on one arm. Amazing.
Isn't it? And especially because the family said, we're not even sure why the painting was sitting in the backyard. It belonged to little Reggie's grandmother. And you can see a photo of the painting, and it's not even, doesn't even look like it's ripped or anything. There's a few little scratches where the kid fell on it. But it seems to be pretty well intact. And the family said, you know what? It's going to take pride of place in the living room from now on, right? We're never taking that down. It's like the miracle that saved our little baby, right?
Carrie Underwood had that hit, Jesus Take the Wheel. This could be the follow-up. Jesus, catch this.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Have you ever wondered where Sharon or other Australian accents actually come from?
Hey, that's actually a really serious question, and I have wondered it because you think about this. America and Australia got settled right around the same time by the Brits, and we all wound up speaking differently. And it is one of those interesting things, isn't it?
Well, it is until you realize, because this expert has come out and said it actually has something to do with the amount of alcohol that the Europeans settlers, well, I'm not making that up, I swear. Dean Frenkel, an Australian, and he's one of your countrymen, an Australian speech expert from Victoria University in Melbourne, said it's brown liquor.
Causes the Australian accent? No.
He said the Australian accent was born of speech patterns from English, Irish, and German settlers mixing with Aboriginal people. He said there was another influence in the accent's development, and it was heavy drinking.
No. No. Why are you laughing?
Because it explains so much.
Oh, come on. I resemble that remark. Do you think that's true?
I've seen how you can kill a bottle of wine, Sharon. Yes, that is absolutely.
Well, I think that's worth drinking to. I'll drink to that. Cheers.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Hey, have you had the birds and bees conversation with your kids? Man, it can be awkward, but it's better they hear it from you than their friends, and God forbid the internet or something like that.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah, the amazing thing is the experts agree kids need to hear the talk from their parents. This new study out of North Carolina State University found the best way to get kids to make smart choices about sex is to have their parents talk to them about it. And it's interesting, you know, we went through this and going through it now with my 13-year-old. Actually, we've kind of gone through it with my 13-year-old. We're a little late to the game. But the most important lesson, and I love the fact that I'm hearing this now, is you've got to wait for those teachable moments. And only answer the questions that the kid, it's true. And we tried this with my 13-year-old, not so much with my 21-year-old, because we learned it late, but only answer the questions that they're asking. If you've ever given a deposition, you only offer the answers that are being asked to you. You don't elaborate. You don't go into detail. You keep it just to the questions. And you find that the kids learn at their pace. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. One of the things that this study said, and I thought was fascinating, because I'm not a parent, so I've never had to give the talk or be involved in, because it's not, what they're saying is it's not a talk. It's supposed to be something that starts when they're very young and you're answering questions all the way through. But one of the things that I thought was fascinating, these researchers found that the parents' voices managed to stand out in their teenagers' brains, even though they're bombarded with information about sex from a ton of different directions. The more open you are as a parent and the more you talk about it, when they bring it up and they ask questions, your voices will stand out.
And you've got to get at it earlier. Look at the images our kids are bombarded with every single day, from the YouTube to the commercials to their favorite shows on television. You've got to be ahead of the curve or else you're playing catch up. And I'll tell you what, now I'm getting at the point with a 21-year-old who has a boyfriend and my 13-year-old who's thinking about boys and we're having that conversation, is that I'm living the Rodney Atkins hit Cleaning This Gun every single day, man. I'm practicing this.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon, the other side of the news.
Okay, tell me if this makes me a bad friend. Friends of my wife and I have decided to get married, which is fantastic, and we're so thrilled. They've been dating for 3 years. They visit, we visit them, they know our kids. It's fantastic, right? But they're getting married on New Year's Eve.
What? Who gets married on New Year's Eve?
Thank you.
Because
who does that?
Who does it? I mean, who's going to go to the wedding? I mean, everybody's got their own things going on and, you know, or people are, you know, heading out of town, you know, over the holiday period. That's kind of a bit selfish, I think.
I absolutely agree. We're having that discussion because we have to kind of consider whether to go or not. They are some of our best friends, but the fact that they've chosen a date that most people plan celebratory things of their own,
right,
is driving me crazy. I think this is a perfect question for Siri.
Okay, well, grab your phone and you ask her then.
Okay. Siri, what do you think about weddings on holidays?
Barf. I hate weddings on holidays. Why would anybody ever do that? It is so arrogant to think that all of your family and friends think that you are so great that they would want to use one of their holidays off of work to see you get married. Which, let's be honest, probably won't last anyway. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at statistics for that. In my opinion, all weddings should be on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. so that all of your family and friends have a reason to cut out of work early and party on a weeknight. Weddings need to be more about what the guests want. And they need to have more free booze.
Tell your friends they need to have it Wednesday at 2 p.m.
And more free booze.
Yeah.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Hey, here's a way to shock and amaze your friends at work or maybe the next time you're at a party. It doesn't take any sleight of hands. You don't have to go to a YouTube tutorial and try and pull something off. In fact, we'll post this on Facebook after the show so you can print a copy. Through some simple questions and a little bit of math, You can read somebody's mind. You ready?
Okay, you're going to do it on me, right?
Yeah, I'll try it on you.
Okay.
Okay, so pick a number between 2 and 9, and don't say that number.
Okay.
Got the number?
Yeah.
You might need your smartphone for this. You have to multiply, because I know how much you hate
Stop
math.
Stop it.
Multiply that number by 9. Yeah, actually, you can do this in the car.
Okay.
So pick a number between 2 and 9.
Right.
Multiply that number by 9.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Add the two digits in that answer together.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, hang on. Wait, I have.
She's using her smartphone.
Oh, yeah. I'm using my fingers and toes.
Okay. Subtract 5 from that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, pick the letter of the alphabet that corresponds to that number. So 1 would be A, 2 would be B,
okay.
3 would be C.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Got it.
Pick a country that starts with the same letter.
Right. Yep.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Take the second letter of that country and think of an animal that's not a bird or a fish starting with that letter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Now think of the color of that animal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm going to read everybody's mind. There are no gray elephants in Denmark.
Shut up. Shut up. How did you know? How did you know?
I have no idea. The math just works. So the math guarantees that it'll always be the fourth letter of the alphabet.
No, but
which
it
is
wasn't
D.
Just it wasn't just math though. You knew the country and the animal and everything.
Because most people can only name Denmark with D, right? And the second letter of Denmark is E. And most people can only name an elephant, right? So, and the color of an elephant is gray. Right? There you
go.
Oh,
my God, that's fantastic. Love that.
I read your mind. Oh, boy. Sharon, what's your thinking now?
It's murky in there, I know.
Shame on you.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.